Talk to me no matter what you feel. Hi, my name's Scott Anderson, and you reached my podcast. As always, my podcast is brought to you by two sponsors. The first is Danny and the Corporate Ladder, a novel. Kind of a dream of mine to publish a book. So it is available now as an ebook, as an audiobook, and as a paperback. Danny and the Corporate Ladder. My other sponsor is Creative Technology and Innovation. Company founded on the concept of building and helping and making better decisions. Creative Technology and Innovation. So a couple of things. First of all, last week I was playing around with some of the AI tools that are out there, and I took the lyrics from a song that I wrote many years ago. And the song, you know, it's a song I wrote for somebody else. And so basically I put it into the AI engine, and it produced the whole song, the vocals, obviously it used my words, but it created, you know, the vocal stylings, the various components of the song. So it was really cool. I have to say, I will admit that I was, deeply pleased. How's that? Deeply pleased. Not pleased and not somewhat pleased or shallowly pleased. I was deeply pleased. What a goofy thing to say. I was really impressed by the way it came out. The product that was produced was very good. It took the song that I have written many years ago and it made it into something pretty fun. So I was happy. I played around with that tool. It's not always something that I do. I don't do it often, right? I mean, it's not something high on my priority list, although I have played around with cloning voices a little bit, but that's more for my pleasure and the edification of annoying somebody with their voice on the phone, not mine. So that was interesting, and I've been diving deeply into the concept of, you know, just what is possible, you know, kind of with that reality of voice as we head into the new world order. As always, published an article on LinkedIn today. Today I'm talking about the impact of machine intelligence on knowledge management. I have been chasing knowledge management solutions for most of the last 30 years. In that time period, in that reality, I have found myself considering, evaluating, and ultimately looking at a number of different knowledge management systems. I've helped set up two at a company I was in, helped them actually build one of them into, you know, a very reliable system. It had all sorts of exceptionally good IP in it. And of course, it had the naysayers. And look, I'm not going to talk about naysayers when it comes to IP. They're short-sighted. They don't get what the value of IP is. They don't understand what the impact of IP is. And so they're happy to be a naysayer, right? I think it's not valuable to put things, you know, I searched the IP system the other day and I got back junk. Well, that's absolutely probably true because somebody put junk in. But the reason somebody put junk in is that half the company is forcing people to submit IP and the other half the company is laughing at it, right? So the reality is you have to have a system in place. And with machine intelligence, you can actually go out and build that system. I actually designed a system for a company and then I expanded it for my initial book, Transitional Services. And the concept, the reality of that, the reality of that system that I built, it's called Digital Lifecycle Management, was the concept of a SME being able to keep articles and information and data in a constant flowing motion. Because the reality of when you consider, or the reality of a knowledge management system almost has as much to do with what you were using it for as it does why you were using it. And we've talked before on this podcast, and I've published many times, many articles, you know, why drives what and how. The reality of why is it always drives what and how. Well, the why you use an IP system, 99% of the time is to get an answer to a question, right? You go to Google to search, you're not searching for flowers that may interest me, right? If you're searching for something, you're likely searching for, here's a picture of a flower. Tell me what flower this is, right? Or I really like these flowers. I want to have them in my yard. What are they? Right? You don't search randomly for things, you know, you search to solve problems. And that's what knowledge management systems represent, right? I go to the knowledge management system to solve a problem. I can remember many years ago when I worked for Microsoft, one of the things that I relied on heavily, and I still to this day, although now it's web-based, it used to be a CD, but now it's web-based, is TechNet. TechNet solved half the problems that I was experiencing without my having to do a lot of stressful evaluation, a lot of stressful review, and a lot of stressful figuring things out. I was trying to solve the problem quickly for my customer. I didn't want to have to do the fol-de-rol of check it, test it, all that other stuff. I wanted to find out what the answer was quickly. And that's why you go to a knowledge management system. You want that answer, right? I want to know what will fix this problem quickly. Right? So that's the big reason. So when we think about machine intelligence in the future and what it's going to bring to knowledge management, it's finally going to solve the initial problem, right? I can remember walking into rooms at various companies over the years, you know, walking into a room full of people, all of whom had their laptops open. But if you're in a meeting and you have your laptop open, you're rude. I don't care what you think you're doing, it's just rude. It's just rude to have your laptop open because it means you're not focused. You can't be. Even if you are taking notes, if you are not explicitly asked to take notes, it's just rude to do that. But I don't necessarily, you know, worry about that anymore. In the modern world, it's a lot harder because a lot of people are remote and you got to have your laptop open if you're remote because that's where your webcam is. But anyway, neither here nor there. The point being, you know, people begin this process of you know, generating information, and information solves problems. And so how you get to that and what you do with it and kind of where it's stored and all of that, well, machine intelligence is going to change that. It's going to change it radically. First of all, because if you build, you know, kind of this concept that is becoming more and more critical, which is this connectivity framework, right? You build a connectivity framework so that your infrastructure is connected, right? All my data stores are connected. That's step one. You know, step two is you build this machine intelligence system to go out and pull all those data stores and figure out what's in them. And then when you ask the question, how do I solve this? The machine intelligence system can run out, go to the right store, pull the data back, and give you the solution to the problem. That's why you use it, right? Today, it's a web-based, you know, HTML-focused type solution. Maybe in the future, it's not going to be, right? I see or I project that, you know, eventually it's just going to be a prompt, right? You have a prompt on your phone, and you interact with that prompt via voice, and then it delivers back to you the answer to your question very quickly, right? So that's first part, is getting the data, the right data to the right person at the right time. That's called the time to live for data. Data has a time to live. If the data arrives late and the problem consumes the user, then it's irrelevant, right? You were too late. If the data arrives but it doesn't fix the problem, then that data is also useless. If the data arrives and solves the problem, then it is, you know, it's good. That's called the time to live. That's the structure by which, you know, organizations solve problems. I have a problem, and I have the intellectual capital to solve that problem. That's a good thing. But the other side of that particular issue is that if you have the data and it only partially solves the problem, then you have to begin to suspect that the data has aged out of usefulness, and that's the time to live. The other side of data is the concept of collection. You know, it's interesting because in the modern era, data collection may still be the biggest problem. As I said earlier, you know, I walked into rooms with people sitting there with their hard drives and their computers open, rudely open. That just drives me up a wall sideways when somebody sits there with their laptop open in a meeting full of people in person, right? If you're on a live meeting and you don't have you have your laptop open, that's perfectly acceptable because you're on a live meeting And you're not in person, and it's okay. But if you're in person and you have your laptop open, then, you know, shame on you. That's just horrifically bad. But the point being, on all those laptops, there's thousands upon thousands of dollars of IP that doesn't exist in the intellectual property system of the company. That laptop represents the last bastion of, I have information you don't have, therefore I am still important, right? The relevance of the concept is information is power. Well, information shouldn't be power. The way people behave, it has become power, but it shouldn't be. So an automated collection system using machine intelligence would be the other thing that we could do, right? We can literally create this agent. It sits on your computer and it automatically, you know, begins a trickle replication of all the data that you're building and creating that is unique. You know, if you copied another document and begin to modify it, it would copy only the portion after the modified section from the other document, just to be fair, right? To do it the right way, to solve the initial problem. But that said, you know, in this modern era, as we move forward, that automated data collection system is going to be an incredible tool, because then you're going to have more data in the IP system, not just the data that is normally submitted, which frankly is between 20 and maybe 22% of the total user population at best. I'm talking about 100% of people generating or working in knowledge applications would automatically ship their data up, right? It would automatically go up to the knowledge management system, and the machine intelligence could look at it and determine, yes, this is good, no, this is not good. You know, go ahead and put this in the trash bin, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, as always, appreciate the listener and all of you that listen, and I would wish you a very happy rest of the day and rest of your week. Thank you for listening.